What we've been doing for several months now is sort of just meandering through the Gospel of John and encountering some insight into just the love of God for us. For some reason today, I just felt like a shift. I don't mean a permanent shift, but at least for today. And then we may just do some Advent theme things the rest of the time until after the Nativity. But I'm not real sure. But we'll eventually get back into John. But the word comes from sort of a personal experience. This is what's been happening in my life a lot, and it's sort of all been, I can sort of reduce it down to the statement Jesus made when he said he's the way, the truth, and the life. And that Jesus was saying there's a way of life that is truth and that is real life, and it's not just a way of life, it's he's the way of life, but it's a way, the way of life he lives. And so it's not the way of life that Jesus lives that he then invites us to follow in terms of mimicking, an imitation of Christ, but he asks us to participate in. So that's why Jesus came to live inside of us. He could have just declared you forgiven, tapped you on the shoulder, said you're forgiven, you're going to go to heaven one day. Now do the best you can to serve me, to honor me. But he came to live inside of us, to join us to him, to graft us into his very life so that he could live his life through us. But the life that he lives through us is a certain way of life. And it is other. The word holy means other. It's other than what we do in the flesh. It's other than the way we see things and think about things. It is astoundingly wonderful, but it's different. It's other. And so often what will happen with me, I'll be doing something. And then like somebody texted me this morning and said, I'm not able to come see you because I need to, they wanted to talk to me about something. And, but there was a need with a relative that had sort of injured themselves yesterday. And, you know, and Jesus, so there was no disappointment because Jesus doesn't live a disappointed life. And Jesus, I just responded by what I heard, and that is that you're exactly where you're supposed to be. And, but this morning when I woke up, I had a really remarkable experience because usually I'll wake up before my alarm. It's just the way it is. And then I'll maybe go back to sleep for another 10 or 15 minutes. And when I woke up this morning really early, I had a real deep sense of his presence. But what I really sensed was is that I was going to like just lay down, go back to sleep, resting in his nearness with the Father, which is a remarkable thing. The peace that came over and the joy and just the wonder of it all, that's true about us at all times because we have Christ's relationship with the Father. But to hear him say that to me this morning, it was uniquely and profoundly impactful that I just want to lay back down and in that place of physical rest, I'm just going to rest in your nearness with the Father and just enjoyed the sense of his nearness that I'm now participating in with the Father. There's this, I was reading this again sometime last couple of days, this place in Ephesians chapter 1. It says, blessed be God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ, just as he chose us in him, in Jesus, before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him. In love he predestined us, this is our predestiny, to the adoption as sons through Jesus Christ himself, according to the kind intention of his will. We've been grafted in to the sonship of Jesus, and therefore we have all the rights and privileges that Jesus has in his relationship with the Father. We have the nearness that Jesus has. It wasn't something that we earn or we progressively go towards. People may grow in their consciousness of their nearness, but when it says with God, but Psalm 16 says, in his presence is fullness of joy. And at his right hand, there's pleasure forevermore. If you're in Christ, you can't get more in his presence. There's nothing you can do, Bible study more, pray more, witness more, whatever you want to do, that can make you more, make you closer to God. It can cultivate a consciousness of your nearness to God, but the nearness is his nearness. You've been grafted into his sonship. And how near to God is he? How close does Jesus consciously live in terms of his intimacy with the Father and the Holy Spirit? That's ours. There's a place in Galatians. It says in verse 4, this is a good time of year scripture, this time of year scripture, but when the fullness of time came, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, in order that he might redeem those who are under the law, that they might receive the adoption as sons. And because you are sons, God sent forth the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. The Spirit of his Son. And so Jesus' cry, Abba, Father, is my cry, Abba, Father. I'm in union with his Abba, Father relationship. That's stunning to me. And one of the things that Jesus came to do, we talk about the coming of the Lord during this season, and it says this, one of the things he came to do is to graft us into his sonship so that we get to enjoy his intimacy and his walk with the Father by the Holy Spirit. Again, Ephesians in chapter 2, verse 13. But now in Christ Jesus, you who formerly were far off have been brought near. Didn't earn near, didn't try to get near, but you were brought near by the blood of Christ through the death, resurrection of Jesus, because you were in him, crucified and then raised up in him, participating in his life, grafted into his sonship. For he himself is our peace. See, your peace with God isn't because you've performed enough, isn't because you've been a good enough boy or a good enough girl lately. Your peace with God is Jesus' peace with God. And what kind of peace with God does Jesus have? You've been brought near. How near? To the nearness of Jesus has with the Father. To know the peace that he has in his relationship with the Father. No guilt there, no insecurity, no condemnation. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. He himself is our peace, verse 15, by abolishing in his flesh the enmity which the law of commandments, in other words, the broken law that condemned me, he took that out of the way, that in himself he might make the two into one new man, thus establishing peace, and might reconcile them both in one body to God through the cross, having put to death the enmity between me and God. And he came and preached peace, not just peace, that you have the peace of God in your heart. That's cool. That's wonderful. And we do. I was so blessed because I was with a 19-year-old in Tulsa, Oklahoma, a couple of weeks ago that faced sentencing from an accident that he was part of. And it was a pretty severe sentencing that he was going to have to spend years, and we're trusting that with the Lord, but years in prison. And so I was just talking to him, and I said to him, how are you doing? And he said, I'm good, I'm at peace. I said, well, you know, Jesus is at peace about this. In other words, Jesus is at peace. He's not afraid. And he said to me, he said, I know. He said, that's why I'm at peace, because I know the Christ who's in me is at peace about this. That's a great peace. But when he talks here about preaching peace, he's talking about that there's no longer enmity between me and God. I'm as much at peace with God as Christ is because I'm in Christ. So I have his place. For through him, Jesus, we, both Jew and Gentile, have access in one Spirit through the Father. Wow. I have access to the Father through Jesus. What kind of access does he have? I love this scripture. This is in chapter 4, or chapter 3, verse 11 and 12. This was in accordance with the eternal purposes which he carried out in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom, and we're in him, in whom we have boldness and confident access through his faith. That's the language here. In him, I have boldness and confident access to the Father through his faith. See, the enemy will always try to get us focused back on just ourselves as if we were independent selves, so that the burden's back on us. Do I deserve this place of nearness? Do I deserve to be at peace with God? You know, have I earned that place? Have I done enough? But I have access through his faith. I'm in him. And Jesus never flinches as to whether or not he's at peace with God, and he has access to the Father's presence. He lives in that environment at all times. Amen? So I'm not resting on what I've done, what I deserve, what I've earned. I'm resting in his confidence in his relationship with the Father. I have that relationship. I have that place. And so for this morning, when the Lord, I heard that, and it was just so cool that it was like an encounter with the Lord. And I was so excited about laying my head back down and just resting, even physically, conscious that I was resting in Jesus's relationship, Jesus's nearness to the Father. Man, how fun that was. So maybe tonight, it doesn't have to be, you can know that now. You know, I can experience that now. I do experience it now. Jesus brought me into that relationship with the triune God. You know, again, there is a resurrected human forever sitting in the Godhead, and he's clothed in your humanity. So you're there because you're in Christ. Maybe a bit, I hope you sleep. Some of you have trouble sleeping tonight when you lay down. Now, Lord, thank you that I'm going to rest in your nearness with the Father and the Holy Spirit as I sleep. And I just think that's a fun story. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.